Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shir Brachos Daf Lamed Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf to view today's Mark Tosfos using the popular Gemara Markings system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. The Tosfos at the top of Daf Lamed Hey, the first in our perek, Ketzad Mevorchim. Our Mishnah opened up with the question, how is a brocha to be made? Or what is the text of the brocha that is to be made over peros? Tosfos points out that the question that was presented at the beginning of the Masechta, when the Gemara there had mentioned the Mishnah Meimos Haikur and Shema Barvin, the Gemara had asked, where is the Tana coming from that he's already talking about the time for Kriya Shema without having established that there is a need for Kriya Shema? Here, our Mishnah is asking, how is a brocha made without having established that there is a need for making brochas? Yet, that question is not asked in our Gemara. So, Tosfos says, Lo shayich lahakshois, it's not appropriate to ask, Tana hecha koi dekotoni ketzad, where is the Tana coming from, or literally, where is he standing, that he is able to ask, what is the nature of the bracha, without having established that you need to make a bracha, kideporach bereish mechutin, as the Gemara in fact did do at the beginning of our Masechta. So the issue is, why doesn't the Gemara ask that very same question? So Tosfos answers, number one, Mishum dehocha svorahu levarach kidemasik begemara. Here it's obvious, it's logical that you have to make a bracha, as the Gemara itself says in our sukkia, where it says, the osir lehanos mino olam hazeh below bracha. The Gemara itself says that svara. So, since it's a svara, it's something that's taken as a matter of fact, that already being established in our minds that you have to make a bracha, therefore the Tana can immediately go into the question of, well, what is the text of the bracha, in asking the question of Ketzad Mevorchim al HaPeros. Inami, a second approach to this, Yesh Lomar Dekoi Amasnisin, that in fact, our Mishnah is coming off of an earlier source or a previous source, Dekoi Amasnisin de Mishameso, in the third parak of this Masechta Dekotoni, it says over there, Balkeri Mevorech Lachrov, Veino Mevorech Lefonov, that a Balkeri makes brochas after the food, but he does not make the brocha before the food. So we've established in that Mishnah that a brocha is to be made. And now, our Mishnah at the beginning of the sixth parak asks, what is the nature or what is the text of that bracha? V'hochi nami shayechocha levorech al kol dover v'dover ad kan al kein ko'omar hocha ketzen mevorchim. Therefore, since we established over there that it is expected to make a bracha on all things, therefore, here we go on to the next stage and ask, how is the bracha to be made? The next Tosfos, Achlei, V'hodar Achlei. Our Gemara had mentioned that we learn from the word Kodesh Hilulim that first one must redeem the peros of the fourth year, and then he is able to eat it. Tema, loma li kra. What do I need the Hilulim Pasuk to teach me that there's pidyon, that there's redemption for fourth year fruits? Hopet perek sheni de kedushin gamrinon. There in the second perek of kedushin, there is a teaching, kodesh, kodesh, mimaiser sheni. There is a gezeira shava. Here in our pasuk it says kodesh hilulim, and in the context of maaser sheni, the term kodesh appears, and we know that by maaser sheni there is pidyon, v'tzarta kesef. The pasuk says that you shall redeem it onto money and bring the money to Yerushalayim. Same thing over here with as a result of Gzera Shava im Kain Nelef mi Meiser Sheni. So learn that there's Pidyon from Meiser Sheni. The Tosfos has two approaches. Number one, the Yesh Lomar, Ilav Kro Dehilulim, if I didn't have this posik that our Gemara quotes, Hava Amino de Adarabo, I would have learned to the contrary, Nelif L'chumra Kodesh Kodesh Mishvias, I would have learned an alternative Gzeirah Shava using the words Kodesh here by Rivai and Kodesh that you find by Shvias, by Shmitir produce, and we know by Shmitir V'Einlo Pidyon, there is no Pidyon whatsoever. So, relying on the Gzeirah Shava alone of Kodesh Kodesh would have led me to a Chumra of non-redemption whatsoever. Therefore, I need the Hilulim word, and as we said in our Gemara Shir, the Hey interchanges with a Ches, and you get Chilul, Chilul meaning Pidyon. A second approach. Oid Piresh Rabbeinu Chaim Koyen I Mehosam, had I had the Gezerah Shava mentioned in Maseches Kiddushin, Have Amino Ki Maiser Sheni Mamish, I would have thought to treat the fruits that are of the fourth year like Maiser Sheni literally. V'dafka Bizman She Maiser Sheni Noyeg, only when Maiser Sheni is in practice or binding, kemo b'shona rishono shniyah revius v'chamishis l'shmita noheg chilul. Namely, if our fourth year fruits come out in a meiser sheni year, which is the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the shmita cycle, avol shlishis v'shishis, but on the third and sixth year of the 7 year shmita cycle, shemeiser oni dafka, where there's only meiser oni as opposed to meiser sheni, emo lo, I would think there's no pidyon for the fourth year fruit in the third and sixth year of a Shemitah cycle. Komash Malon Chilulim, therefore I need the word Kodesh Chilulim that tells me that there is Chilul for the Revai whenever the fourth year of that particular tree comes about and not tied into Meiser Sheni. The next Tosfos, Shein Omrim Shiro Elo Al Hayayin, Pirush, Ein Omrim Shiro Al Shum Achilas Mizbeach, Kegon Zrikas Domim, V'Nisuch Hamayim, Ki'im Al Hayayin. When the Gemara here says that we don't say Shira except over wine, it means in the context of things that are placed on the Mizbeach. For example, blood sprinkling or water pouring, when those are performed, there is no recitation of Shira. But when wine is poured in the shisen and the tubes on the mizbeach, then shira is recited. Avo vade motzinu shira b'lo yayin. But the concept of shira, even in the Beis Hamikdash, exists even in the absence of wine. Kagon halel shibashitas psachim, like the halel recitation, which is a form of shira during the slaughtering of the korban pesach. And no wine is poured over the mizbeach when that is taking place. So Tosfos focuses the comment of Ein Omrim Shira L'al Yayin is Ein Omrim Shira regarding things that are placed on the mizbeach, except with regard to wine. The next Tosfos, Uleman Detoni Kerem Ravai. The Tosfos goes on, V'ato anau kaimalon de Ravai noheg af b'chutz laretz, that the need for treating fruits with holiness applies even outside of the land of Israel. Mihu bekerem noyeg velo b'shar ilonos. It applies only to grapes and not to other fruit trees. The chol hamekel ba'aretz halacha kamoise b'chutzaretz, that when you have a controversy regarding halachas applying to Eretz Israel, and in our case we have a machlokas the fourth year, what does it apply to, all fruit trees or just to vines? And the opinion that says just to vines would be the Makil in Eretz Yisrael, would be the Makil. So we will follow his approach with regard to the application of the halacha in Chutz Loretz. The Kerem Revai Bezman Azeh, Mechalan Al Shov Epruta. What does one do nowadays when there's no bringing to Yerushalayim, being that there is the churban took place, and therefore the dinim that apply to Meiser Sheni and to Kerem Revai are not in practice today, but yet there is a kedusha on these fruits. What do we do? So we redeem it onto a shofa, put onto the smallest amount of value, v'shochako, and grind up the coin, umatilo, lenor, and then cast it into the river. V'chein mufurish b'shiltus d'Rav Achoy. And thusly it's explained in the Shiltus. The next place is, v'osi nami zayis b'mahatzad. In our Gemara, we were figuring what are the things, what are the food items that would require a bracha, and we learned that we have a source for kerem, for vineyards, we have a source for koma, for grains, and the Gemara suggested we can also include through a tzad hashaveh between koma and grapes and kerem and koma, they can be, we can include, because both of them have what's called a tzad mizbeach, they are offered on the altar, and as a result of that, the Gemara says, well, you can't conclude other food items that are not offered on the altar, but zayis, but olives could be included, because olive oil is also part of sacrificial offerings in the context of the meal offering. So the Tosfos says, "V'osi nami zayis b'mahatzad." V'im tomar iko lemifrach. You might ask, but you can challenge this conclusion. Ma lahatzad hashove shekein chayovin beleket. The tzad hashove, the common denominator between the vineyard and the grains, will not allow me to include the zayis, because vines and grains have something in common, one with the other, that you do not find by the olives. And what is that? Both the kerem and the koma have leket that apply. Leket is one of the matnas aniyim. It's a tithe left for the impoverished. And you'll ask, well, leket, where do you have leket in the context of vines? The peret, the kerem, hainu leket. Peret, which is one of the phenomenon by the picking of grapes, you have, which applies only to vines, as opposed to masha'en kein bezayis, as opposed to the olive trees, the ein bo leket. It doesn't have that form of tithe to the poor. So the question right now is, kerem and koma both have something in common that you don't find by the zayis. So how can the Gemara say that the zayis can be derived as needing a bracha from a tzad hashoveh, from a common denominator that you find between kerem and koma? V'yesh lomar. So the Gemara says that the argument that Tosfos just made, in fact, may very well be correct. However, denicha lei lemifrach pircha. The Gemara's approach to this particular section is such that it prefers to ask, afilu yehei hatzad hashoveh choshuv lemesi zayis mina, even if the tzad hashoveh were successful in deriving the zayis, mikol mokom ko'omar tishar minim lo yoda mina. So what we're saying, Tosfos is saying that it may be very true that you can't really derive the zayis from it, but the Gemara was more interested in asking a stronger question, that is, that even if you were to derive zayis from the tzad hashoveh of kerem and koma, we would still be left not knowing the bracha for all other things. Tenach li'achrov. The Gemara had said that, granted, I learn from these different sources a bracha afterwards. What about a bracha beforehand? So Tosfos says, Tenach li'achrov, the ikur bracha li'achrov, the main bracha that one makes over food is the post-eating bracha, kidichtif yochalta v'savata v'rachta, as the Torah ordains. You eat, are satisfied, and then you make the bracha after eating. So what about a bracha beforehand? So the Gemara said, well, you don't really need a pasuk for that. That could be derived through a kal v'chomer. And it said, if after you've eaten and are satisfied, you make a bracha, so before, when you're hungry, you certainly should make a bracha. The fun of, the next place says, the fun of lo kol shekein. So to this, Tosfos points out, Lav kal v'chomer hu. This isn't a real kal v'chomer. De'im kein, if it were a real kal v'chomer, te brocha d'lefonav midoraisa, then the pre-eating brocha would have a Torah status, because information derived through kal v'chomer logic has the same status as that which was used to develop the kal v'chomer. So if the starting point of the kal v'chomer is the brocha achrona, birchas hamazon, which is Torah based, the pasuk v'yachadu sevot v'rachto, so the information derived from that kal v'chomer, namely brocha rishona, would also be doraisa. And that can't be. Uli'el perek misha meisoi mashma gabi balkeri delav doraisahu. The Gemara takes for, as a matter of fact, the Mishnah in the third perek indicates that the brocha before eating is not doraisa. And that's in the context of the balkeri, who we said that when it comes to something that's doraisa, that he is able to say, even though a balkeri is restricted from Torah learning, but if it's a matter of a brocha doraisa, so he recites that. And yet the brocha before food, he does not say. V'afilu Rebbe Yehuda lo polig, even Rebbe Yehuda, who allows the balkeri to say the brocha, he says so elam mishum da'asan kilchus derech eretz. He says it because the brochas are viewed as hilchus derech eretz, which is a realm of Torah study that a balkeri is allowed to engage in. But he doesn't say that the balkeri says the brocha because it is doraisa. So even though the Gemara here makes it sound like the brocha before eating is an outgrowth of a kal v'chomer from the brocha achrona, nevertheless, it's not a full-fledged kal v'chomer based on the Gemara sources that Tosfos quotes dealing with the Valkeri. The next Tosfos, Dover She'en Gidulo Min Ha'aretz, Kegoin Bosor V'cholav. Our Gemara had asked, well, if you attempt to derive your need for a brocha from, let us say, Shiva Saminim, we could say, fine, there's a brocha for Shiva Saminim, but what about things that are not Gidulo Min Aretz? In other words, even if you hold that you learn that there's a brocha by Netta Ravai is a function of trees that are planted and produce fruits. What about meat and milk? How do you know there's a brocha for those things? The Tosfos, we said the Dibur Masel Dover Shein Gidulo Min Aretz Kigon Bosor VeCholav in Tomar My Iria Bosor. Why speak about a brocha for Bosor? Afilu Yerokos Nami Lo Asiole. Even vegetables cannot be derived from Netta Ravai. Netta Ravai is a reference to trees that are trees that are planted and produce fruits. The yerokos aren't, we don't use the term netia is something referring to trees, and that's not a term that refers to vegetables whatsoever. So the Tosfos is focusing on, why does the Gemara focus on my inability to derive a brocha regarding Bosor and Cholov, when you can stay within the realm of the realm of botany and say even Yerokos I wouldn't be able to derive? So Tosfos answers, V'yesh lomar di'ika lemeimar, with regard to Yerokos, I would be able to say koma tochiach, that koma, which are grains, they in fact are not bar netia, they're not b'nei netia, they're not something that netia applies to, and yet they have a brocha. So I would say that just like koma has a brocha, even though it's not a netia, so too yerokos will have a brocha. Well, the pirush Rashi nicha. According to Rashi, things work out smoother. Degoris, because in the girsa that Rashi has, in fact, is like our girsa that we have in our Gemara text that you could see, six lines from the bottom of the Omid, where it says, "The lav bar netia minayin." If, as Tosfos opened up his question of, well, you could even ask about Yerokos, according to the girsa that we have and that is accorded to Rashi, our Gemara, in fact, is asking that very question. The leko lemeimar de osa mishar ilonos, And you can't, you won't be able to say that yarokos are derived from other trees. The ikolamema, the ikolamifrach, you would still be able to ask ma lahanoch shekein chayovim bepeah. Lahanoch are trees. Trees are chayov in the peah tithe, which is not the case by yarokos. So I wouldn't know brachos concerning yarokos, vegetables, from the fact that netios. Fruit trees do have brachas, because fruit trees have mitzvahs peah, which yarokos do not have. Elo, goes on, svorahu, osulodum shehena, ukra, the Gemara's conclusion was that the basis for a bracha is a point of logic, that one is not entitled to benefit from this world without making a bracha beforehand. We have a Tanaic source above it that opened up our Gemara that said, Kodesh Hu Hashem Milam Shetunin Bracha Lifneim, that the pasuk that was brought above in the Tanaic source, Asmachta bi'alma, it's a mere reference point, but not an actual source. The Gemara at the beginning of the sugya thought that it was an actual scriptural source, as opposed to an asmachta, which we can roughly translate as a simple reference point on which the rabbis based their teaching. We continue with Tosfos on Omid Beis, the top of the Omid, Kan Li'achar Brocha. The Gemara at this point had resolved what appeared to be a stira in the Psukim, the one Pasuk having said, Lashem Ha'aretz Imlo'a, that the world and its contents are that of the Almighty's, and the other Pasuk which says, Va'aretz Nosan Livnei Adam, where the land is given, land and its produce is given to man. And the Gemara said that, well, before the Brocha is recited, so Lashem Ratzim Loa, and after the bracha is recited, so then Haoretz Nasan Livnei Adam. Tosfos at the top, Kan Lachar Bracha V'chein B'Perek Kol Kisbei in Masechah Shabbos Amrinon K'shayu Minichin Hashulchan Hayu Omrim Lashem Ratzim Loa. When the tables was placed down, and then they would say Lashem Ratzim Loa. K'shayu Mesalkin Hashulchan, when the table was removed, Hayu Omrim Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem V'Oretz Nasan Livnei Adam. So that you see the same relationship of before the eating, one pasuk applies, and after the eating, another pasuk applies, because in the interim, of course, according to our Gemara, a bracha had been recited, enabling them to eat. Kan bizman shisrael oisim ritzoni shemokom shenemar v'osafto digonecha. This was part of a discussion raised by Rav Chanina Bar Papa, where he raised a seeming contradiction between two psukim, one saying V'lakachti digoni bito, where Hashem will collect the grains, in other words, we won't get them, he'll take them in for himself, and the other pasuk saying that you shall gather in your grains, and the resolution was based on whether Yisrael is oisirotz in shemokam, then we say V'yosafti dinecha, and the V'lakachti digoni is when Yisrael is not oisin ritzoin in shemokam. So Tosfos raises a very strong question. V'im tomar v'hola kamon, later in the Gemara, just the next couple lines of Gemara after this particular point, Bisman She'ein Yisrael Oisin Ritzono Shel Mokom, the phenomenon of Jews not fulfilling the will of Hashem, Mukminon Le, we establish the Pasuk of the Osafto, the Gonecha, on the case of Ein Yisrael Oisin Ritzono Shel Mokom. So let's just go over from the beginning of Tosfos. The Dibur Maskil said, Kan Bizman Yisrael Oisin Ritzono Shel Mokom Shenemar V'yosafta Deganecha. So V'yosafta Deganecha is associated with Oisin Ritzono Shel Mokom. When you go a couple lines later in the Gemara, you have the same pasuk of V'yosafta Deganecha, and that is associated through Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, associates that with Bizman She'ein Yisrael Oisin Ritzono Shel Mokom. An open contradiction. Two approaches. Number one, the Yesh Lomar, Demairi Vadai She'oisin Ritzoinoi. The Gemara later takes the Pasuk of Yosafta Degonecha, and Tosfos says it's definitely describing people that are Oisin Ritzoinoi. Avol Ein Oisin Ritzoinoi Kolkach. But not all the way. Deinam tzadikim v'murim. So it's in that context that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, well, if you're not tzadikim gemurim, so then you are going to collect your own grains. But if you are tzadikim gemurim, so then the Gentiles will do your work for you. So that, according to this approach, there's no contradiction between what Reb Chanina Bar Popa is saying and what eventually Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says in the Tanaic source, eventually, I mean, as the Gemara progresses, even though historically Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was before Reb Chanina Bar Popa, but nevertheless, there are a couple of qualities of service of Hashem. There's the Tzadikim Gemurim level, and for that we say the Omdu Zorim Rutzanchem, as the Gemara says in the Tanaic source quoted later. Then there is the middle area of behavior where you are Oisin Ritzona Shemoka, but not totally, and that's V'yosafta Dogonecha, and that's what, and Reb Chanina Bar Popa will acknowledge that as well. And then there's the situation where they're not doing Ritzona Shemokam whatsoever, and then V'lokachti Dogoni Bita will apply. The Oid Yesh Lomar. Now, there's another approach. Depolig Le Aha Dilakamon. That, in fact, Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa is in disagreement with, he doesn't accept, or he doesn't rule or follow the approach taken by Shimon Bar Yochai. Shebo Lefaresh Ma Bein Oisin V'ein Ritzainin. V'ein Oisin. Later, there is a distinction made between oisin and ein ritzayin and ein oisin. Va'acha be'oisin the ein oisin ki hadodi ninhu. This Tosfos is a bit abbreviated. It doesn't spell out very much the issue. There is a note on the side, as you can see, a rather long note on the side, which explains what Tosfos has in mind. So we try to express this in a somewhat succinct fashion. We have a little note that we've included on the side of the Gemara where the star appears, and we've written as follows: Lekamon Rav Shimon Bar Yochai mechalek bein oisin rotzayin Hashem legamri leelu she'ein oisin avol loy legamri. But once again, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai makes a distinction between those that are oisin ritzon Hashem legamri, as opposed to those that are oisin but not totally. Hocha, Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa einu mechalek bein shnei elu. Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa doesn't make a distinction between those that do ritzon Hashem in a complete fashion and those that do so but in an incomplete fashion. As far as he's concerned, those two are the same. Ela mechalek bein oisin le'ein oisin klal. Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa is interested in contrasting only between those that do ratzon Hashem, whether it be partial or complete, versus those that don't do ratzon Hashem at all. So that the distinction that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai makes is not the distinction that Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa is trying to make. Continuing, and of course the result in their use of the pasuk V'yosafta Dogonecha is different, where Rav Chanina Bar Popa says V'yosafta Dogonecha, you will be zoche to collect your grains, applies to all those that are involved in asiyas ratzon Hashem, whether in partial or complete. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says that V'yosafta Dogonecha is limited to those that do ratzon Hashem, but not in a complete way. Continuing back in the next Tosfos, Derech Traksimon, this section of Gemara had been dealing with the difference between the earlier generations and the later generations, where the earlier generations would treat their grains and in such a way that they would deliberately impose upon their grains the need for tithing by bringing them the grains in through the main entrance to their houses. Derech Traksimon, Pirush Rashi, Hainu Doiraisa. Rashi says that would mechayev the tithing Doiraisa, Avomidorabonon, Gam Chotzer Kivas, Kidemash Meperk Yitzedoifen. However, bringing it into a courtyard as well would mechayev the grains in a tithing on a rabbinic level, as is implied by the Gemara in Maseches Nida. Ezu chotzer shechayev v'maiser v'chulei, v'chein muchach b'perek hamevi in Maseches Beitza. So that the Derech Traksimon, Rashi points out, would make it chayev d'oraisa, which a traksimon is the entrance to a house, and but an entry, bringing it into a chotzer would also mechayev it, but on a rabbinic level. The next Tosfos, it goes relates to the issue of wine consumption, Erev Pesach, where the wine was described as something that is misat soid. It creates a sense of satisfaction. Then the Gemara says, if it creates a sense of satisfaction, so what was Rava drinking wine all Erev Pesach so that it would increase his appetite for the matzah? So the Gemara said, tuva gorir, a lot of wine, that actually increases appetite. As opposed to wine in moderation would create satisfaction. Mikan mashma she'osu lishtos yayin be'erev Pesach min amincho lamala. From this discussion, it would seem that it would be prohibited to drink wine on Erev Pesach from mincho lamala, say from midday onwards. The im roitze lishtos, and if one does want to drink, then sorch lishtos harbe. He'd have to drink a lot, because drinking a moderate amount of wine would create satisfaction, thereby reducing the anticipation of the matzah consumed on Leil Pesach, on the Seder night, which is supposed to be done with a sense of joy and anticipation. But if one is satisfied, so he's not going to achieve, he'll actually be neutralizing that. So, if you do, however, want to drink on the Pesach, Erev Pesach afternoon, so you'd have to drink a lot. The tuva migra gorbius, a lot of wine, actually increases appetite. Continuing at the top of Daf Lamed Vov Amud Aleph, Dibur Masu Lo Ya'ar Arnu. This is a comment made in the Gemara, which dealt with someone who has a throat pain on Shabbos. So the Tanaic source instructed a person not to lo ya'arenu b'shemen. So let's immediately go to the Tosfos Pirush Rashi. What is prohibited? L'hashoisoi, to intake the oil and leave it in the throat. We would say something similar to gargling with the oil. That would not be allowed on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a day where there is prohibition in taking medicines, things that are obviously medicinal. The imtomar, imkain, if we're to accept Rashi's pshat, then liflog velisni bedida, make a distinction within oil itself without mixing it with the anigron. The Tanaic source said that one should not gargle with oil, but if he wants to achieve relief, so he should mix the oil with anigron, which was with a water from a trade-in cooking, and swallow it. So that the source made a distinction, like on one extreme, not gargle with oil, but, or that's lahashosa, which means leave it in your throat without swallowing. But what you can do is take the oil, mix it with anigron, and swallow it. So if we accept Rashi's pshat, why not make the distinction within oil itself? My irya ayade anigron. Why does the Tanaic source introduce the mixing of the oil with anigron? Afilu bi'einei shori livaloi la'altar. If you're dealing with oil itself, and following Rashi's pshat, the only prohibition was gargling with it, there would be no prohibition if he would swallow it. Da eno usur, according to Rashi, elo la'ar'er, da'ainu lahash oso. The bir'ur of the Tanaic source, Rashi explained, is keeping it there, delaying it in your throat, having it remain in your throat without swallowing it, leaving room to say that if you would swallow it, the oil by itself, that would be okay. So the question here is, according to Rashi's pshat, why did the Tanaic source feel that in order to achieve a heter, an allowance, you have to introduce the anigron mixture with the oil? Alkein pirushori lo ya'arenu. The prohibition of the Tanaic source regarding oil on Shabbos of lo ya'arenu afilu bivaliya b'loy shihiya, even with swallowing it, there is a restriction. Shekol shtia she'eno elu l'refua kori le'irur, any kind of drinking that's for purely medicinal purposes is called irur afilu kishiboil oy. V'hainu taimo de mitzar, and this is the reason that we won't allow it, mishum de komukha milsa de refuah komechave, because it's so obvious that if a person takes a cup of pure oil and puts it to his lips, it doesn't matter in the eyes of the public whether he is going to be gargling with it or swallowing it. Even someone who swallows it, he's doing it for purely medicinal purposes, and that is forbidden on Shabbos. So the only way to achieve permission is by taking the oil and mixing it with an otherwise acceptable food substance, and then swallowing it. So that it's according to the Ri, the point of distinction made in the source is not two extremes, but rather within the realm of swallowing. We make a distinction, namely, swallowing pure oil would be prohibited, but swallowing oil mixed with anigron, that would be allowed. That would be tantamount to taking a cup of hot tea mixed with honey and drinking it, as far as Tosfos is concerned, because the mixing of the oil with the anigron makes it appear to be something that's consumed even in a non-medicinal context. Inami. Inami yesh liyashev pirush Rashi. You'll notice with our diamonds, we indicate this is a second approach in dealing with the lo ya'arenu of the Tanaic source. And here, we're going to try to take into consideration Rashi's pshat and say that it can, in fact, work out with our understanding as follows. Yesh li yashi pirush Rashi lo ya'arenu lehash oisoi, that the source that says you cannot lo ya'arenu, that's lash oso, to leave it in the throat. Avol noisein hu lusoch anigron v'afilu lehash oso. Once again, you're not dealing with two extreme points, but a distinction is being made within lehashosu, within shihia. So that the source is saying that what's prohibited, the remaining of the oil when it's pure. However, the remaining of the oil in your throat when mixed with anigron, that would be allowed. Oi, boil oi, be'ene below shihia, or swallowing the oil, be'ene, by itself, without anigron, without any need, without having it delayed, would be okay. And the expression of the source that said ubolea is that point. The O, the Vav, is or. So let's go over this pshat, which preserves Rashi's original explanation, and read it back into the source. The source has said, "Achoshish begrono lo yarenu b'shemen tchila b'shabbes." That one who has a pain, discomfort in his throat, he shall not leave oil. He shall not have oil remain in his throat in a gargling fashion with the shemen alone, and left in the throat. Avol noisein shemen harve lusoch anigron, but you can do shihiyah in the throat if the shemen is mixed with anigron. Another possibility, ubolea, means going back to the pure oil, is what? Not to be left in the throat, but the pure oil may be swallowed. So that either one of these pshatim is preserving the Rashi's original pshat, and also pointing out a distinction that does not depend on two extremes. The next Tosfos, Kevon de Isle Hanomine, Boi Bruchi. The Gemara had said that with regard to medicinal substances, things that are taken for their medicinal value, but also are food items, so I would have thought without Rav Yehuda's teaching that you wouldn't need to make a bracha, because your purpose in taking it was for relief and not for for its food satisfaction aspect. Then the Gemara said, well, Rav Yehuda's teaching tells me that since you have benefit from it, since you have pleasure from it, you still need to make the bracha, even though your kavona was for medicinal purposes. The Tosfos says, Kevon de Isle Hanomine Boi Bruchi Venirin Hadvorim Deim Odom Shoise Mashkin. If a person drinks something for refuah, Ima Mashkim Roim Lishtos, if it's a very bad taste, the Lesle Hanomine, that he has no pleasure from, it's a bitter tasting medicinal drink, Lo Boi Bruchi, he does not need to make a brocha, because the Gemara made it dependent on having hano. But if it's bitter, he doesn't have hano. V'isle hano mine below refua Boi Bruchi. If he has hano from it besides the refua aspect, then he will need to make a brocha. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.